I'm going to start this message in a rather different way, in more of format of a more of the storytelling rather than teaching. Then we'll switch back to the sermon style. So hear me, please. Let's say we are all invited to a Thanksgiving dinner party by a generous and godly man. Our host not only prepared the scrumptious Thanksgiving dinner for all of us, but also he had a special surprise for us. He pulled some strings from God, and the Lord allowed the three guests to come from heaven to join our dinner. And the first guest is none other than King David himself. Of course, he showed up in his royal robe, with a golden crown on his head. Of course, we see his ruddy, aged face, but handsome face as we know in the Bible, and punctuated with a few battle scars on him. The second guest, he was an unassuming man, an old man, bald head, hooked nose, thick eyebrows, and hunched back and bowed legs. In his eyes, in his gentle eyes, we could see wisdom and intelligence. When our host introduced him to us, our jaws dropped. Apostle Paul, the second in command of Christianity. So we were stunned. And then third guest, we've never seen her. Oh, we don't know much about her. And she is about 30-something, that she did not have a stunning beauty, but she is a pretty woman. Her deep facial line shows that she did not have an easy life. But she now has that impenetrable, solid rock peace in her. You can see that. Soon, by the way, the dinner that host prepared is like this. Soon we start to eat this lovely turkey and all the trimmings. And, of course, the last course is a dessert. Since this is the sermon illustration, you don't have to worry about calories. And I don't have to worry about blood sugar. Yeah. And let's stop. While you're enjoying the picture, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to your presence. As we sing, we give thanks. Not just today. Remind us who you are, full of lordship, and who we are, your servant. So it is a natural thing for us to give you thanks every day. Remind us that we are your children by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. Speak to us today. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. After the meal, the host said, before we all go to media room to watch college football game, why don't we, by the way, the media room is like this. Why don't we all share the goodness of the Lord and give thanks to Him? Some of us start to share our appreciation, gratitude to the Lord. And King David raised his hand to the host. With a nod of approval from the host, and he stood up, I would also like to share my gratitude to the Lord. You all know that when I was a young boy in the Judean hill country, and I was a shepherd boy, and I kept my father's sheep, and the Lord kept me safe from the bears and the lions, and even the Goliath. Then the Lord anointed me as the next king through Prophet Samuel. While I was chased like a dog by King Saul in the wilderness for a long time, he kept me safe, and he was my stronghold, he was my shelter where I could find peace and rest. After he made me a king, and he continuously showered me with his blessing and favors. And he even established my house on the throne forever through Jesus Christ our Lord. But in spite of all his kindness and goodness, I have sinned against the Lord, as you know. You read all that and studied that from your Bible. I committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband killed to cover up my sins. But when the Lord revealed my sin through the prophet Nathan, I immediately repented. And I confessed my sins. And he restored my relationship with him. Then King David recited Psalm 32 and two of his psalms that you know, Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man who, to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Psalm 51 says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. By now there's not a dry eye around the table in the room. King David sat down. Before anyone else said anything, this time Apostle Paul stood up and said, I too have a thankful heart to the Lord for his grace and mercy. Of course, Apostle Paul always said grace and mercy. And you guys have been studying about me lately on Sunday mornings. And what it says in the Bible, they are all true. And you study about me before the conversion to Christianity. And I persecuted church with passion. And I thought I was doing favor for the Lord. I thought I was good enough. As a matter of fact, I thought I was more than good enough to go to heaven. Because I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, and the tribe of Benjamin, and the Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning the zeal, I persecuted church, concerning the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Until I met the Lord Jesus on the way to Damascus. Should I say it was an eye-opening experience? Literally. All depth of the riches and wisdom and the knowledge of God, unsearchable of his ways and unsearchable his unfathomable his path, judgment. Then Paul sat down. Since the two of us, our special guests, gave their thanksgiving to the Lord, all of us were kind of expecting the third guest, a woman, to give her own testimony. This lady realized everybody was looking at her, so she stood up quietly. She introduced herself in this way. You don't know me by my name, but you do know me about my sins. You do know me as a sinful woman who came to the home of a Pharisee named Simon to anoint the feet of my Savior Jesus. Let's read what she done from the book of Luke chapter 7, please. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. He went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table of the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. She began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. She kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. Verse 42. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to him, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with a fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. And to whom the little is forgiven, the same little much." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus to a dinner. Yet he considered Jesus less than his average guest to his home. That's why he didn't offer the water to wash his feet. That's why he didn't greet him with a typical Jewish greeting kiss. And that's why he did not anoint his head with an oil. Jesus did not discount this woman's sin. But because of her heartfelt repentance and devotion, most of all her faith in Jesus Christ, her sins were forgiven. Yet Simon the Pharisee's sin, was still with him to be judged in future. Simon and the woman were both sinners. And Simon was guilty of the sin of the spirit, especially pride. And while the woman was guilty of the sin of flesh, her sins were known, while Simon's sin were hidden to everyone except God. Simon's real problem was pride and spiritual blindness. He could not see himself, the woman, or the Lord Jesus. It was easy for him to say, "She's a sinner," but it was impossible for him to say, "I also am a sinner." Do we possibly treat the Lord like a Simon the Pharisee? And you may say, "Oh, never." Listen to me, please. Simon became a Pharisee because the Lord allowed him to be. Instead of being thankful for what the Lord has done, his accomplishments got into his head. He looked down on others and was not grateful to the Lord. Ask yourself, and I ask myself, are we too busy and too distracted to give thanks to the Lord for each and every day? Do we must gather up all the thanks for one day of the year? Our prayer list may override giving thanks to Him. Remember the Lord's Prayer? We all know that should not be called the Lord's Prayer. Rather, disciples' prayer or the prayer format. It starts with giving thanks to the Lord, more of acknowledging who God is and who we are. Then we make a petition to the Lord. A lot of times we forget who He is and who we are, and we go straight to this prayer list. Give me this, give me that, and I'm done, I'm out of here. Until next time, God. If we do not give thanks to the Lord daily for what He has done, starting with the salvation we have through Jesus Christ, as well as what He did not allow us to have that we asked for, aren't you glad you didn't get what you asked for? It is a good evidence that we are losing our first love for the Lord. You may argue with me. You may argue with God. But if we are not putting Him in the first priority, that's the good evidence. Let's go back to verse 47 in chapter 7 in Luke. Therefore I say to you, her sin, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom the little is forgiven, same loves little. We don't have to be forgiven murderer to love God much. Just think about where we came from and where we are now spiritually. That would be good enough to bust out the praise and thanksgiving, don't you think? Salvation is good enough for us to praise the Lord. Some would say, how can I thank Him for everything He has done for me? And what can I possibly do to God who has everything already? Fortunately, the scripture has a good blueprint for a couple of ways so that we can show our gratitude to Him. Number one, you guys know this. We can give Him our praise in the word and songs. Go to Psalm 63, please. Psalm 63, verse 3. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I lift up my hands in your name. If you have a problem praising God with words, just sing song to Him. You guys know some of the hymns or some of the praise worship music. Just sing to Him. And don't come up with this excuse, I cannot sing well. Well, you have the audience of one. Does it matter how you sing and what kind of lousy voice you have? Whenever you come up with this saying, well, I cannot sing well, that it's kind of pride. We're singing to God. He doesn't care. If He wants us to sing well, He would give us a voice like all these worship team members. We would sing well. But that, to Him, it doesn't matter. You all know that what the psalmist said, make a what? Joyful noise. It didn't say joyful sound or perfect sound. Just sing to Him, make a joyful noise to Him. That's not just during your prayer time, but also during the praise and worship time in church service. Lift your hands, and you may say, well, in my denomination, I don't care what your denomination says. But the Bible overrides it. According to what we just read in 63, I will lift up my hands in your name. Wow, what a concept, isn't it? Is the Bible overrides, does Bible override the denomination concept? Yes. Lift up your hands. Let me put it this way. If you're a bad person, a criminal, and you're doing bad things, and you got caught by cops, and he put the gun on you and he freeze. What do? You raise your hand. You surrender. That's what we do. We surrender to God with our lives. And we're giving our lives. As we just sang, I surrender. I surrender my life to Him and praise Him with my hands lifted up, with my songs and with my words. You don't have to make a flowery word. If it comes from just one word, thank you, Lord, comes from your heart, that's worth more than all the flowery words the Pharisees would come up with. Second thing, we can give Him our praise in our obedience to His word. John chapter 14, 15, please. I'm preaching this to the choir, so it's kind of... You guys are already doing what I'm teaching. People will say, well, I met a congregation who were visiting, and they have a daughter who lives in the San Francisco area. Because she adopted a sexual preference in that area, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. That daughter was raised in a Christian environment at home. Now she's adopting perversive lifestyle. And she said, I loved Jesus, but I don't like Paul. You know why? Romans chapter 1. And as a matter of fact, I don't know any homosexual people who knows the Bible like chapter 1 of the book of Romans. They would accept what Jesus said. They only accept the love of God, but they would not accept the holiness and the judgment of God. This is what I quote to her and father. John 14:15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandment." We cannot say we are thankful to the Lord, we love God, and in the meanwhile, we disobey Him. We are still flawed human. We don't always do exactly as He said, but we still need to be obedient to His word and out of our love for Him. And I say this on every Thanksgiving service. Before we stuff ourselves more than stuffed turkey, before we fall asleep, before the halftime on the couch, why don't we take some time alone or with your spouse or your family member? Give thanks to Him for what He has done, what He's doing, what He will do in our lives. Remember who He is. Remember who we are. Full of lordship and who we are as the children of God, then it's not that difficult to follow Him when we know who He is. Amen?